I'm so excited to have such a divine and spiritual connection to my apostle, my spiritual father, my leader. It's such a blessing to be connected to someone who's on the cutting edge of ministry, who's always seeking to go further, never satisfied. He knows that there's more. I say the same thing unto you as students in this training center. There's always more. Never be satisfied. Always pursue God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, everything that is within you. Never grow comfortable. It's not time to be comfortable. It's time to move forward. Father, tonight, thank you for these students. Thank you that they have taken the time out of their busy schedules to desire to pursue ministry. And we thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., of course, who is the founder of this school of ministry. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. Thank you for his entire family. And we thank you that because of the divine connection that we have with him, we can boldly say to these students that our lives is different. Our ministry is different. And the lives of the people who are in our ministry is different, all because of connection. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to look into chapter number 4. We're going to talk about the four realms of prophecy. So let us begin. The scriptures clearly indicate that there are various realms of the prophetic flow. Different degrees of anointing operate in each of these prophetic levels. The four realms of prophecy are, number one, the spirit of prophecy, which is the mantle. Number two is the gift of prophecy, which is the resident gift. Number three is the ministry of the prophet, which is the man in function. And number four is the prophecy of scripture, which is also known as the canon of scripture. The spirit of prophecy, the first realm. The spirit of prophecy testifies to the manifested presence of Jesus, or let's say the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence in a meeting. The presence of Jesus charges up the meeting, or let's say charges up the atmosphere in the meeting. The environment becomes conducive to worship, and a great liberty is felt. The spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit's mantle of prophetic anointing that is given during the times of worship and activation, causing the believer to be an instrument of for prophecy. Those who do not have the gift of prophecy, and also those who are not prophets, cannot prophesy unless this prophetic mantle comes or rests upon them. When the Holy Spirit's anointing increases in a service, all can learn to prophesy one by one. Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people. And he set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down himself in a cloud and spake unto Moses and took of the spirit that was upon Moses. And he gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit that was upon Moses rested upon them, they began to prophesy. And they did not cease prophesying. But there maimed two of the men
in the
camp.
The name of the one was Eldad.
And
the name of the other, Medad. And the other's
name was Medad.
And the Spirit rested upon them.
And the Spirit also rested upon them.
And they were of
them
that were written,
but went not out unto the tabernacle.
And they prophesied in the camp.
And they also prophesied in the camp.
And there ran a young
man
and told Moses,
and said,
Eldad and Medad
did prophesy
in the camp.
And Joshua,
the son of Nun,
the servant of Moses,
one of his young men,
answered and said,
My Lord Moses,
forbid them.
Now pay attention to this.
And Moses said unto
Joshua,
Enviest thou for my sake?
Would God that all the Lord's
people were prophets.
That's the kind of attitude
we have to have.
Would God that
all of God's
people were prophets.
Would that
all of God's
people
could move
in the prophetic.
And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them.
And that the Lord would put his spirit up on them.
And Moses
got him into the camp.
He
and the elders
of Israel.
And then we have
1 Samuel
chapter number 10,
verse number 10.
And when they came
thither,
to the hill,
behold,
a company of prophets
met him.
And the Spirit of
God came upon
him.
And he prophesied
among them.
1 Samuel
chapter
19,
verses
20 through 24.
Now that
reference in
1 Samuel
10:10
was referring to King
Saul.
See, when you
get in the company of
a prophet, Samuel
was a prophet,
is
a prophet.
We got to stop
using is like
they don't exist no
more.
But
when you come
into the presence
of a real prophet,
one of the things that
you will notice is
that the prophetic
easily
can come upon you.
1
Samuel
19.
And Saul
sent messengers
unto David.
And when they
saw the company
of the prophets
prophesying,
and Samuel standing
as appointed over them,
the Spirit
of God was upon
the messengers
of Saul.
And they
also prophesied.
And when it was
told Saul,
he sent other messengers.
And they
also prophesied
likewise.
And Saul
sent messengers
yet again.
The third
time.
And they
prophesied also.
Then
went also he
to Ramah,
and
he came to a great
well
that is in Sichem.
And he asked and said,
Where are Samuel and David?
And one said,
Behold, they be at Maoz,
and Ramah.
And he went thither
to Naoh and Ramah.
And the Spirit
was upon him also.
And he went on.
And prophesied.
Until he came to Naoh and Ramah.
And he stripped off his clothes.
Also.
And he prophesied before Samuel.
In a like manner.
And lay down naked.
All that day.
And all that night.
Wherefore they say.
Is King Saul also among the prophets?
The gift of prophecy.
This now
we're talking about,
we're not talking about
the Holy Spirit's
mantle.
We're now going to
talk about the
resident gift
of prophecy.
This resident gift
within a believer
who is filled with the Holy Spirit. who is filled, pay attention, who is filled, not just born of the Spirit, but who is filled with the Holy Spirit.
And this resident gift
of prophecy
is one of the supernatural manifestations
of the Holy Spirit
through the believer.
The one who possesses this gift
needs only to stir up
his spirit,
or let his spirit
be stirred up
before he begins to prophesy.
He's not dependent
upon the external atmospheric conditions
or a conducive environment
to prophesy.
When the corporate anointing
level of the congregation
is going downhill,
the believer by virtue
of this resident gift or his gifting
can let the Holy Spirit
stir his spirit
and rise up in the presence of God
to get a clear word
from God.
Then with this exercise of faith,
he can move straight into the prophetic flow.
The one who possesses the resident gift
prophesies more regularly
because he's not dependent
upon the external atmosphere or environment.
The ministry of the prophet, the third realm of prophecy.
The prophetic ministry
is not an office,
but rather it is a ministry.
Because an office comes by appointment,
whereas a ministry
comes through a call or a calling of God.
The two leadership offices
in the New Testament church,
one is the elder,
and the other is a deacon.
These offices are appointed by men.
They can be anointed,
but they are set aside by men.
The fivefold ministry
is God called,
God anointed,
and God approved,
and I like to also add God sent.
You see, the fivefold ministry gift, you know, we have people who go to seminaries.
You can go to a seminary. Now, some of you might get mad tonight, but it's okay.
Get glad, get a sandwich back.
Just get happy,
because you can't come to the school of ministry and think you are called.
It takes the calling.
Only the head of the church,
remember, in Ephesians 4,
Jesus gave the gifts.
And in 1 Corinthians 12:28,
you know, Ephesians 4:11 on down, about through 16,
Jesus gave the gifts,
but in 1 Corinthians 12:28,
God set the gifts in the body as it pleased him.
So it's a calling.
Nobody can vote on you being a preacher.
Nobody can lay hands on you and declare you an apostle and declare you a prophet
or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher.
You know, people take on these roles and have absolutely no evidence,
no proof, no gifting.
So we must be careful not to go around stepping into a ministry that we're not called to.
Only the head of the church, as he did in the case of Paul, who was previously Saul.
You know the story how Saul was on the road to Damascus.
He had letters to go bind people in the church, put them in jail.
He was wreaking havoc in the church because he did not want them to preach about the way of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And it was on that road to Damascus that he had an encounter with the head of the church.
And the head of the church appeared unto him in a light that shone bright as the midday sun.
And Jesus said unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
And
Saul, recognizing that this wasn't a regular voice, saying, "Lord, who art thou that I'm persecuting?" And Jesus say, "It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." Now, the very same thing, the very havoc you're wreaking in the church is the reason why I'm drafting you, why I'm calling you, and I'm going to send you forward, and I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. So I hope you had all of your fun persecuting the church, because what you dished, now you're going to have to take. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to read verse 11. Matter of fact, let's start at the 8th verse. I like to start at the 8th verse and read on down. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave
gifts unto men."
Notice he gave gifts unto men.
"Now he that ascended,
what is it but
that also
he descended first
into the lower parts of the earth.
He that descended
is the same also
that ascended up far above all heavens,
that he,
the Lord Jesus Christ, might fill all things." Now pay attention. Those gifts that he gave unto men, he gave some to be apostles,
and some prophets,
and some evangelists,
and some pastors,
and some teachers,
for the perfecting of the saints,
for the work of the ministry,
for the edifying
of the body of Christ,
until we all come
in the unity of the faith
and of the knowledge of the Son of God,
unto a perfect man,
unto the measure
of the stature of the fullness of the Christ.
Now hold that. Stop right there.
You can see that in Ephesians 4, he gave the 5 ministry gifts.
Well, he didn't say he gave all to be apostles.
He didn't give all to be prophets.
He didn't give all to be evangelists
and all to be pastors and teachers.
No, he said some.
Well, last I checked, if you have 1/5, 2/5, 3/5, 4/5, 5/5 that make up one.
So those 5-fold ministry gifts make up the one Lord Jesus Christ who stood in all 5-fold ministry giftings according to the scriptures.
And I don't have time to go through all of the scriptures, but in Hebrews 3, he's referred to as the apostle of our profession.
You know, I don't have time to go through that.
You know, he was in St. John 4,
the woman at the well say, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet."
And we can go on and on, but we're going to stop there. Let's get back.
Ephesians 4:11
tells us that the ministry gifts of Christ
are gifts of men
to the whole body of Christ,
not to the local church,
but to his body.
These gifts are set in the body as God pleased him.
So if Jesus gave the gifts,
and in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it say,
"And God hath set some in the church,
first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers.
After that, gifts of healing, working of miracles, health, government, diversity of tongues."
You go through that list and you will find out it's the same list that's in Ephesians 4:11-12.
However, Jesus gave, God set, and they have ranks.
The apostle in both Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12 is the first gift that Jesus trained in his church.
Remember Matthew 16:13 on down to verse 18 when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
And he was asking this question to the 12 men who he ordained apostles that he was training.
He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
And some say Elias, and some say Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead.
But Jesus said, that's not important. But who do you think I am? And Peter said, I got it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now watch what Jesus said. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, thou art the same as I am. And upon this rock of revelation, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice this phrase. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, you know, you got to understand something. The church is a prevailing church. We're not here sitting around waiting on what the devil gonna do, like we got to stop him. The church must now be offensive minded. It must go back to Matthew 11, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You know, Satan does not have power over the church. So Jesus, in building the church, say, this is the order in which I'm going to build the church. I'm going to start with the first gift I'm giving to my body, the apostle. So he's first in order. He's first in rank. And all of the other giftings are supposed to flow through the ministry gift of the apostle. Remember, it is the apostle in apostolic government that opens up the portals of heaven so that information that comes from heaven can be disseminated throughout the whole body of Christ. And we're going to see much more effective ministry. Now, the prophet is second in that lineup. In Ephesians 2:20, it says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostle and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the entire church is built up on a foundation. And that foundation is upon apostles and prophets, with Jesus the Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Never forget that. So as you are here in this school of ministry, you must see yourself, because now you can't walk around calling yourself an apostle. We have so many people. I remember I went to bed on a Saturday night and I came to my ministry overnight and the whole city was apostles. I was the only one left out. You know, I was like, well, what had happened? But you see, men go around making people apostles. You are not an apostle because you've been in the church 40, 50, 60, 70 years. That don't make you an apostle. You're not an apostle because people go around telling, you know, man of God, I see the apostolic. That ain't, no. There's only one way you qualify to be an apostle. You must go through those epistles that Paul wrote to the church. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Without the calling, you just a bag of wind, not going nowhere. And you don't have no proof, no evidence, you know. And so signs, wonders, and miracles often follow the ministry of an apostle. But we don't have time for much more of this tonight. Let's keep moving.
The fivefold ministry gifts.
The fivefold ministry gifts.
They are not ordained of men.
They are not ordained of men.
They're
not even appointed by men.
Men only recognize the gifts
and callings of God
in the person
and find appropriate ways
to release them into function.
See, in order for an apostle or a prophet, even an evangelist, pastor, or teacher to function at a very high level, you must receive the gift. You receive the gift by unwrapping it, because sure, as you are in this class tonight, there's an apostolic call upon Apostle Thompson's life, and the people who know how to tap into it, even though they may not even stand in the office of an apostle, that apostolic grace can come up on them and they can become apostolic prophets, apostolic evangelists, apostolic pastors, and the apostolic teachers. Why? Because they understand the purpose of connection. The body of Christ is so fragmented. There's so much competition. But let me tell you something. There are modern day apostles in the earth realm today. There are modern day prophets in the earth realm today. There are modern day evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But what I've seen in over 42 years of ministry, what I have seen is people taking on titles with no proof, no evidence. It's not based upon how many people you have in the church. I mean, hell, you can have a congregation of 50,000. That don't make you an apostle. That don't make you a prophet. You might just be a good organizer. Okay, let's go.
These men and women are gifts to the church.
They are gifts to the church. And they are crisis ascension gifts
to the church.
The prophet reveals
Christ the prophet.
And the New Testament pastor reveals
Christ the shepherd.
They are a part of his kingdom authority
and
his rulership.
They are also called
governmental ministries.
They are instrumental
in building,
establishing,
and maturing
and perfecting
the church.
Without
these ministry gifts,
the purposes of the
church
will not be
fully realized.
The ministry gifts
equip
the believers
and help release
them
into
ministerial functions.
Number four is
the prophecy of Scripture.
The fourth realm of prophecy
is the prophecy
of Scripture.
It is the
spoken revelation
of God
in times past
that have become
the authoritative
canon
of Scripture.
This is the
highest
and purest
form
of
communication from
God.
This
level of revelation
is
the direct
inspiration
of the
Holy Spirit.
It is
inerrant
and
it is also
infallible,
not capable of
error.
2
Timothy
chapter 3,
verse
number 16.
Now notice
this phrase,
all Scripture,
not some,
all
Scripture is
given
by
the inspiration
of God. What
does that phrase mean?
All Scripture
is given
by God
breathing.
You remember in
St. John chapter
number 20,
when Jesus
breathed upon
the apostles and
said,
"Receive ye
the Holy Ghost."
Well,
the Scriptures
came about
because
God breathed
upon men.
So
all Scripture is
given by the
inspiration of
God. Now watch
this.
And is profitable.
Profitable
for what,
Reverend Dr.
Walker?
Profitable
for what?
Doctrine.
You know what
doctrine is?
Doctrine
is what?
The
established
order
of God.
That's what doctrine
is.
So if
we want to be
established
in divine
order,
then we got
to go to
the canon of
Scripture.
It's also
for reproof.
What is reproof?
The
correction of what?
It's the
dismantling
of
erroneous
thinking
in what?
And teaching.
It's the
dismantling
of
erroneous
thinking
and
teaching
in
your
thought process.
See,
most people come
to you with full
of information
that
God didn't give them.
That's
what reproof is
for. Go ahead.
For correction.
You know
what correction
is? The
assimilation
of truth
in our what?
In our
thought process.
Notice,
the assimilation
is true. What is
true? Jesus
said,
"Sanctify them
through thy word,"
St. John
17:17.
"Sanctify them
through thy word."
Thy word
is
truth.
Go ahead.
And
for instruction
in righteousness.
That is what?
The
systematic
application
of
God's word
in
our life.
So
that's what
instruction
is for.
Okay,
go ahead.
The prophecy
of Scripture
is no longer given today.
That is no longer
God is no longer adding to his written word. The other three levels of prophecy must be judged on the basis of the prophecy of Scripture, or what is called the canon of Scripture. In other words, when folks want to go around prophesying, if they can't handle somebody taking them to the word, then don't worry about them. They off on the deep end. I call them parking lot prophets, phone prophets, bathroom prophets, store prophets, because they never want anyone to judge their prophecy in light of and in line with what the Scripture is teaching. That's why so many people in the body of Christ, our lives are messed up and jacked up, because we have these people going around talking about, I got a word from the Lord for you. You need to start telling people, I have a word from the Lord. The most surest word I have is the canon of Scripture. And I don't have to, I'm not looking for somebody to give me a word. I am a word. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's it for chapter number 4. Let's go on. Chapter number 5. Distinguishing, discerning, and judging in the realm of the prophetic or prophecy. Distinguishing between prophesying under the spirit of prophecy and having the resident gift of prophecy. Those who prophesy under the spirit of prophecy, they are dependent upon a conducive atmosphere or environment, while those with the resident gift are depending upon their ability to hear and receive from God. Those who prophesy under the spirit of prophecy, they do not prophesy as regularly as those who operate in the resident gift of prophecy. They are dependent upon the atmosphere and the prophetic unction that's present. Those who operate under the spirit of prophecy, they prophesy under a different lower level of prophetic anointing. Those who operate under the spirit of prophecy are learning to move in the prophetic anointing. It is at this level that the church members can learn to move into the operation of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 31 says, all can learn to prophesy one by one. Those who operate under the spirit of prophecy can develop the prophetic flow until it becomes a resident gift. This comes by observing the following: becoming more sensitive to the inner working and unto the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is communication with the Holy Spirit. Prophesying more regularly, thus stirring up the gifting and creating an atmosphere of faith for yourselves. This is participation in faith, associating and fellowshipping with the prophetic ministers and working with them. This is association with others. And removing setbacks of fear and ignorance and knowing or learning how to move more frequently into the prophetic realm.
This information
deals with what we have in our minds. But revelation deals with what we have in our spirits.
This is revelation truth teaching.
Distinguishing between the gift of prophecy and a prophet's ministry. The simple gift of prophecy has often been confused with the ministry of the prophet. All who prophesy, they are not prophets. But all prophets, notice, all prophets must prophesy frequently. The gift of prophecy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to equip the believer for effective service, whereas the ministry of the prophet is one of the ministry gifts of Christ, which sets the believer into their specific ministry function in relation shipped to the body of Christ.
The gifts in Romans chapter number 12.
These are motivational gifts.
They are basic gifts
that motivates
and mobilizes
the believer
for service.
Motivational gifts
are spiritual inclinations
inside of the believer's spirit. The motivational gifts
are for building up
of the individuals.
The gifts
that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12,
they are charismatic gifts,
gifts of the Holy Spirit given by the Lord Jesus Christ.
They are gifts of the Holy Spirit
that empower
and equip the believer
for service.
These gifts are resident operations
of the Holy Spirit.
The charismatic gifts
are for the building up of others.
The gifts that are listed in Ephesians 4,
these are ministry gifts.
They are gifts of Christ
that ordain
and anoints the believer
to function in a specific dimension
in Christ's ministry.
These gifts are lifestyles
and life messages
and life examples
of the resurrected Lord.
The ministry gifts
are for building up
of the church.
The gift of prophecy
is only one of the manifestations
of the Holy Spirit.
Whereas the ministry of the prophet
is inseparable
from the person.
Prophesying
refers to the gift.
Prophet
refers to the man. We're going to stop right here for this session.
You all enjoy a great evening.
And remember, next week, is exams,
and we'll be talking to you all.